The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 24 to 29, and you can find this on page 919 of the Pew Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The wise and foolish builders. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Psalm 1 shows us that there are two ways to live, and that only one of them leads to life. And it makes clear that a wise life is not built on cleverness, confidence, or visible success, but on delighting in God and learning to walk steadily in his ways. Most of us, if we are honest, want a life that works. Not a flashy life, not a perfect life, but a life that feels rooted, steady, and quietly meaningful beneath the surface. I've had so many conversations with people who were doing the right things on the surface, being busy, being responsible, and even faithful, and yet describe their inner lives as scattered, pulled in too many different directions, and spiritually tired in a way that they struggle to name. Often they are not asking for more information or another technique or a new strategy. They are asking a quieter, more searching question. They're asking, am I living in a way that will actually sustain me over time? And Psalm 1 meets us exactly there, at this quiet but urgent question. Not by offering a shortcut, but by pressing something deeper into view. Whose wisdom is shaping the direction of your life? And whose voice are you learning to trust? Psalm 1 stands at the very beginning of the book of Psalms, also known as the Psalter. For a reason, it functions as a gateway, because before we are taught how to pray in every season of life, we are first taught how to walk wisely in God's world. The psalm is not only shaping individuals, it is forming a people, calling us to consider not just what kind of person each of us is becoming, but what kind of community we are becoming together. Verse 1 says, blessed is the one. That word, blessed, does not mean carefree, lucky, or untouched by difficulty. It speaks instead of a deep-rooted happiness, a settled flourishing that grows from living in alignment with the grain of God's creation. The Psalms know suffering far too well to promise easy lives for each of us. Psalm 1 is not naive, but creedal, declaring that this is God's world, that his way is real, and that those who choose to know him will ultimately be shown to have chosen wisely. That's why the second reading that we heard from the Gospels was the choice of the wise builder. What are you following? But also, are you building your foundation upon rock or upon sand. We all have a choice. Even not choosing is a choice. And the blessed person is first described by what they refuse to absorb. Again, so important. We can think it's about what we do, but it's also about what we let influence us. And we hear that they do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or allow their thinking to be quietly shaped by voices that disregard God. They do not stand in the way of sinners, or settle into patterns of behavior that slowly pull them off course. And they do not sit in the seat of scoffers, those for whom cynicism has become a posture and mockery a habit. There is a deliberate progression here, from walking to standing to sitting, from ideas we entertain to practices we adapt to identities that we inhabit. Most of us do not wake up one morning and decide to abandon wisdom. Drift is far more ordinary than rebellion. It begins with a voice we listen to often enough, a habit we never question, or a tone of cynicism that feels harmless at first, but over time, those small choices shape not only our individual lives, they shape the spiritual temperature of the communities that we belong to. And the final destination of that drift is the scoffer. Not simply someone who does wrong, but someone who treats holiness as naive, goodness as restrictive, and faith as foolish. But the God of wisdom loves his people enough to warn them about slow, corrosive influence before it settles in. Verse 2 tells us, "But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night." This is not dry obedience, and it is not reluctant compliance. It is affection, love, and desire. The law here is not mere rule-keeping. It's God's teaching, God making his mind and will known to his people. And for us, that teaching is now centered and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and made known through the scriptures that testify to him. The wise person does not merely tolerate God's word, they return to it, linger over it, and allow it to shape their instincts, their reactions, and their judgments, especially when life is pressured. To delight is not natural to us. It is the fruit of a heart that has been changed, the sign of new birth. And this is why Psalm 1 stands at the entrance to the Psalms. Because prayer without listening becomes sentiment. Worship without obedience becomes noise. And the God of wisdom teaches us first to be taught. The psalm now gives us two images that reveal where these ways lead. First, the wise life. Verse 3 says, "They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither." Notice what is being said and what is not. This is not a tree that never faces storms, nor one that grows overnight. It is a tree that has been deliberately planted in the right place, quietly nourished over time. If you've ever seen an old tree weathered by decades of wind and rain, you know the difference between growth that is rushed and growth that is rooted. Its strength is mostly hidden, and that is what wisdom looks like in real life. It's not noise, but it's depth. Not constant motion, but its stability. And then comes the sharp contrast to that in verse 4, where it says, "Not so the wicked. They are like chaff, weightless, rootless, driven by whatever wind happens to be blowing. Impressive for a moment, but ultimately empty unable to endure and unable to stand. Wisdom in Scripture is always about direction and destination. Not merely how life feels now, but where life is heading. As they say, it's not a sprint, but a marathon. And the psalm speaks of judgment. The wicked will not stand, because their way will not hold. Their case will collapse, and their wisdom will be exposed as hollow. They will not stand in the assembly of the righteous either, because wisdom in Scripture is never purely individual, it is communal, shaping who we belong to and how we learn to live together under God. That's why it's so important for us as a church to stand on the word of God, not a personality of the rector and where he's leading, but that making sure that the rector is stood on the word of God and is following where God's leading him to lead us together. If it was about personality, we would be in the wrong place and headed in the wrong direction. And I ask you to challenge me on that, because you should. If it becomes about me, then tell me, because it's all about him. And I pray that I never get that way, but we are all fallen. Psalm 1 therefore asks us not only what kind of people we are becoming, but what kind of church we are becoming. Rooted or reactive? Formed by Scripture or shaped by outrage? Bearing fruit or blowing with the wind? The God of wisdom cares enough about life to judge what destroys it. The psalm ends with these words in verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This knowing is not distant awareness, but intimate, attentive, and approving care. And yet, we must be honest. Who among us has perfectly walked this path? Always delighting in God's teaching, and never drifted towards false counsel. I would say put your hands up, but if we're honest, not even I could do that. If Psalm 1 were only instruction, it would condemn us. But Scripture invites us to see something deeper. There is only one truly blessed man. One who never walked in the counsel of the wicked. One who delighted perfectly in the will of the Father. And that man is Jesus Christ. Yet he was treated as chaff, condemned, cut off and judged. Not for his sins, but for ours. And in the resurrection, God declared once and for all where true wisdom lies. Jesus is the wisdom of God. So wisdom is not merely taught, it is embodied. And by faith, his life becomes ours. A wise life does not begin with our effort, but with belonging. And it flows from his grace and not our achievement. Someone invites us to ask some gentle but searching questions, which also I ask myself. What voices are shaping me right now? And what patterns am I slowly settling into? Where do I find my delight? And what do I instinctively turn to when life feels uncertain? Wisdom grows through attention and through practice. Through choosing again and again to place ourselves where God's life can flow into us. Through Scripture, through prayer and belonging to God's people. Trees, well, they grow slowly, but they grow surely when planted in the right place. So as we begin this journey through Psalms, Psalm 1 calls us to choose our path deliberately, not driven by pressure, not shaped by cynicism, but rooted in the wisdom of God. So hear the invitation clearly. Delight in the Lord. Walk wisely. And trust that the God of wisdom is shaping a life in you and among all of us that will last and endure to the end. Let us pray. God of wisdom, forgive us for trusting our own understanding. Deliver us from false counsel and shallow certainty. Teach us to delight in your word. Root us deeply in Christ, your wisdom made flesh. And shape us into a people who live wisely, love faithfully, and bear fruit for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.